Hi, this is Mark Cuniberti. You're about to listen to another edition of our award-winning economic show entitled Money Matters. The information given on this show is obtained from a variety of public sources and is deemed accurate at time of airing but is not guaranteed. This show is pre-recorded at an earlier date, so market indices and related stock market references may not be accurate at time of airing, and we will not be taking any listener call-ins. Thanks again for listening. Now enjoy the show.
And welcome to the 246th edition of Money Matters, today's show entitled Leap into February. Before we begin, I'd like to remind you discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. The views expressed today are my opinions only, and the opinions of authors or people I may interview. They may not necessarily reflect those of this station, Cambridge, its staff, members, or underwriters. Money Matters is about money, as money does matter, and the matters of money affect us all in some way or another, whether you have a lot of it or a little of it. It controls our economy, our country, our planet, in some way or another. It controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money or lack of it or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, Money Matters is about you. Thanks for joining us, and you can get the newsletter, Agrata, Money Matters newsletter, at moneymanagementradio.com, our way of saying thank you for listening to this community radio station. And how can you give up on that, right? Check the programming at your community radio station on the website for all the fine programming that will be upcoming. Community radio is the way to go, for sure. So how's everybody doing? Man, this new president, wow. Talk about polarizing. So much hate and negativity. As Mike Tyson once said, inhale the positivity, exhale the negativity. Probably a good thing. I can't remember. You know, I've been born a little while ago. I can't remember one president that got in there that everybody agreed with. Just the way we are, right? We all have different opinions. Man, but this one, the actual election was a big surprise. The way he goes about things is a big surprise. Wow, talk about ruling with an iron fist. So I never say who I voted for, but it is interesting for sure, all these things. Market seems to like it, at least for now. The Dow as we speak, which is 12:10 Pacific Standard Time, Thursday, February 2nd, 2017, in the year of our Lord. Dow down 35 at 19,855, S&P 2276. The Dow did breach 20,000. We've talked almost on every show about how these large numbers, 20,000, 19,000, 18,000, 17,000, 21,000, 22,000. Technical analysts regard these large numbers as support and resistance. Support means, once it gets above a big number, it has a tendency to want to resist going back down through it. And resistance means once it approaches a big number, like 20,000 or what have you, it has a little trouble getting through it. So it did bust through 20,000, did close there, but now it's down below again. So I don't know what it's going to do. You know, sometimes it'll bounce around those large numbers for a while before taking off in one direction or the other. And sometimes if they bounce around a certain area for a long period of time, it could mean that the break, whichever way it goes, will be violent and significant. But again, these are the markets, you know. Nobody can tell you which way they're going to go. I can't. No one can. If I could, we'd all be, what do they say? Smoking bigger cigars and eating candy and nuts for Christmas? Is that what they say? So we'll keep an eye on the markets today. Again, thanks for joining me on your edition of Money Matters. This show is really about you. It's about the listeners, wherever they may be. And, you know, people stop me on the street and they say, hey, you're the money guy, you know. And I don't usually ask if people like the show or like the articles that I produce. I just ask if they understand it, because that's the main thing. Always are going to be people that don't like you and like you. And I remember the program director at this show told me a long, long time ago, you know, he said, Mark, the more popular a show gets, the more people are not going to like you. And the more people are going to like you, right? Larger numbers, proportions, gross, you know, proportionally. So it's hard, you know, sometimes it's hard. I'm kind of a sensitive guy. And sometimes I get, especially if I post on a social media. I'm on a hiatus from posting on social media, man. I'm telling you. I had a friend of mine that challenged me to stay off Facebook for a week, because last time, I think a couple months ago during the election, I posted something that leaned one way or the other, and man, oh man, not only did people either support me or rave against me, they started arguing amongst themselves on my page. You know, you see these two guys 30, 40, you know, back and forth on my page, you know, so I'm trying to make it so nobody can post on my page anymore. So that's coming. You won't be able to post anything on my page. I just post, that's it, because I'm tired of the stuff going back and forth. But anyway, I'm on a hiatus on Twitter and Facebook. I'm not going there for a couple of weeks, just to clear my mind and stay out of it. I just don't want animosity. Everybody's yelling at each other. Why can't we all just get along? In the famous words of Rodney King. Remember Rodney King? So, yeah, you know. Matthew McConaughey, the actor, came out. I think it was yesterday. I saw it on the news today. Came out and said, look, you know, we're going to have to stop the negativity and support this guy and see what he does. You know, and I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just saying that's what he said. And in a way, I agree with that. You know, I just, you know, always got to be yelling it back and forth. I just don't understand. You know, the guy's in there. Just give it a chance, I guess. I don't know. If even it's saying that, I'm sure people will call me and yell at me. So, you know, when Obama was elected, you know, I didn't vote for him the second time around. And, you know, when I said that, people started yelling at me. Said I was incompassionate. And, you know, what can I tell you? But that's my right. You know, that's why we vote, right? We have a right to vote one way or the other. So I voted one way and other people vote the other. So I just wish, no matter who was in there, I never trashed violently or vehemently Obama. I didn't like some of his policies, you know. But I didn't have hate mail coming out against this guy. So in any case, I did have a little article about what he's going to retire on, but I didn't bring it today. So we'll just have to talk about the markets. Phone number's in the booth here, 530-265-9555. But if you're listening to this other than on Thursday at noon on some of the other 36 radio stations that carry the show, you can't call in, right? But you can always send an email to the program director at your radio station and tell him to contact Mark Cunaberdy at the host of Money Matters at the originating station here in Nevada City, California, KVMR FM. And we gladly share the show among all the community, other community radio stations, as KVMR picks up some material from other community radio stations. After all, it's community, right? There's a you in community. There's not a we, but we are all there. So the nice thing about community radio stations, we don't have paid advertisements. We have underwriters, and if you're interested in underwriting, of course, you can contact the program director or the underwriting department at the community radio station where you're hearing the show, and give your hard-earned dollars to support this kind of news that we disseminate through community radio stations throughout. And, you know, so there you go. So February 2nd, is that Groundhog Day? I don't know. You ever see the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray? I saw an old Bill Murray movie called Caddyshack, and the mayor that was in Groundhog Day, the actor, was in Caddyshack as a much, much younger man. And it's just interesting to see how some of these actors come up through the you know, ages. Like, I always thought I'll Be Back by Arnold. I always thought that was from The Terminator, but it wasn't. I'll Be Back originated from The Running Man, one of his earlier movies. That's where that first statement came out. I'll Be Back was from The Running Man. And I did notice on Celebrity Apprentice, I think I watched one episode of it, when he fired somebody, he said, get to the chopper! And that's from Predator, one of my favorite guy movies. That's a testosterone-filled movie, huh? I love that movie. My wife doesn't like it because she's seen it too many times, and every time I have something to do, I'll put it on. I thought it was great. Forgot who directed that, but had Jesse Ventura in there, and oh gosh, some other guys. They were all built like brick, you know what, in that movie. And so yeah, I really liked Predator. So he's using his various lines from his movies when he fires somebody. You know, get to the chopper, and they take him away by helicopter, or you know, I forgot some of the other terms he used. I watched it once, but I used to watch it when Donald was on there. Some. But, you know, a lot of these shows that just repeat the kind of things they always do. I used to watch Hell's Kitchen. And he was always just yelling at people. You know, I kind of got tired of that. But you know what I noticed about Hell's Kitchen and some of these other shows is if you count the seconds between scene changes, you know, when they change the camera to another scene. In Hell's Kitchen, I noticed they change it like almost every second. When you do that, watch some of these shows, these reality shows, the cooking shows or the whatever, and the scenes change so rapidly. Every second or two, they change the scene. You don't notice it until you start counting. A long clip is like 5 seconds, seriously. And so it's no wonder we're all videoized, you know, because the images change so quickly. You know, your mind has no chance to think about your troubles or your elations. It just has to follow these visual stimulations, these physical images that are just moving so rapidly. And I notice when my kids play video games, you know, the images move so rapidly, you know, they're entranced with these things. And then when they get off these games, they will say, you know, I'm bored, Dad. And when they start telling me that, I take them off the video games for good. You know, for a week or for 3 days or 2 days or 1 day or whatever, because that means that they're bored with real life, you know? The video stimulates that part of the brain where, you know, everything else seems boring. You know, when I was a kid, like some of you guys that grew up with me, you know, in the 50s and the 60s, 70s, you know, we didn't have video games. We had Pong came along in like 1980 something, and, you know, that was kind of a slow-moving game. And so we went out and played basketball. You know, I played a lot of basketball. I was never very good at it, but I played a lot of basketball. And I played a lot of football. And I played football in high school. And I ran track and played baseball. I had a real good fastball until they pitched me so much when my shoulder gave out. And then I eventually had to have my shoulder replaced, so that ended my baseball career. And I went into martial arts. I was big in martial arts. I started out about age 13 and went all the way up till age 40-something. And used to work out hours and hours a day. And now I got bad knees and had knee replaced. Not a knee replaced, that ACL replaced. And so, I don't know. How did I get off on all that tangent? Anyway, so we talk about investing on the show. We talk about the markets, but there's a different type of investing. We've talked about investing in your community with conversations about food bank and other things you can do to help your community. That's investing when you invest around the community around you. Because if you make the community around you stronger, that bleeds off into making you stronger. And it also helps you feel a lot better about yourself. You know, I used to have this rule, if I ever lost money on a bad bet in the market, I would donate money. You know, sometimes I'd lose, you know, big money on an option bet or something, and I'd feel terrible. Like, oh, guys, lost $4,000, you know, or whatever it is. Everybody loses money in the markets at some time or another, and it would get depressing. So I'd give away money. I'd say, well, I lost, you know, a couple of grand. I'll give away a grand to food bank or something. It made me feel better about the loss. I don't know why. It was weird, just what way I was. So we invest in the community around us, which means your community radio station, food banks, and all the other things around you. And investing in yourself is also pays huge dividends. We've talked about investing in your health on the show, what I do to invest in my health and make sure that I live to be 128, which is my goal. Don't know if I'll get there, but I think positively. I've set an age goal. And investing in your mind is what I want to talk about today, investing in your education. And we never stop learning. And I don't stop learning. And I think it keeps the mind sharp. You know, I do things such as I shave with my left hand. They tell you that that's good exercise. You know, you kind of shave with your left hand. When I had my shoulder redone, I played a lot of racquetball. And so I played racquetball with my left hand. Even when my arm was in a sling, I'd play racquetball with my left hand. And I got a couple of guys in the club who would play with their left hand with me. And it was difficult. You know, playing with your left hand a racquet sport, that's tough. But your brain rewires itself. And although I could never get the shots that I could get with my right hand, my brain did learn to make do. And, you know, it knew how to play the game. It knew where it wanted to put the shots, although I wasn't successful in doing that most of the time. But I did get better at it, and I got to the point where I could beat a beginner with my left hand who was playing right-handed. You know, I'm a pretty avid racquetball player. And so, yeah, you got to invest in your brain. And so Investing in your education, in your mind, is time well spent. And it can also be a good financial move. And for me, it has been. I do read a lot. I read The Brothers Karamazov and Plato's Republic in college. And after those two books, I never read another book, so I tell the story. They were just so long. The Brothers Karamazov was like, oh, man. But I have read a few books since then, but I do read a tremendous amount of financial stuff. I probably read 30, 40, 50 pages a day on the financial news networks and some of my favorite investment advice newsletters. And I just read all sorts of stuff. I even do it on vacation. It's just something I enjoy. I don't like reading books. It's just too much fluff in there. But I do like reading the articles. And so a better education obviously can yield higher paychecks. You know, if you get a higher college education, it's not commensurate one-on-one, but, you know, people with higher education backgrounds have a tendency to earn a little bit more. I think that's been well proven. And not only can a better education yield higher paychecks, it can make for higher self-esteem and make for greater possibilities in your life, whether it's you read about health or you read about gardening or whatever it is, it can improve your life. And so that is an investment, and it's an important investment. I mean, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It just matters on what's going on inside of you. And so the first improvement I think that anybody should make is improving yourself. And, you know, I'm like everybody else. I make terrible mistakes. You know, I tend to have a big mouth, and I say things that sometimes hurt people. And it's just sometimes the way I say things, people take them wrong. And sometimes I just blurt something out that I shouldn't say, and I feel very regretful for the times that I do that. It's just the way God wired me, you know. I got to learn to keep my mouth shut, but, you know, sometimes I don't, and it makes me feel bad. But we should never stop learning, whether it's about self-improvement or investing in our minds and investing in our career, or whatever it is, we should never stop learning. And when we stop learning, if we're not moving forward, we stagnate, and it's important. And it keeps our mind sharp, and the more we know, even no matter what it's about, the more we know, it helps our world go around just a little faster. As each one of its participants and residents of this big round ball acquire more knowledge, that's how we advance. We build on previous knowledge. What you learn, of course, is left up to you. Some types of education will enhance your career, while other types will enhance your mind, your body, or your life, or even your vegetable garden or your pet. Whatever you learn enhances and therefore is an investment in some of the things that surround you. Or perhaps you just want to learn something new just to learn something new. Whatever your reason, it's hard to argue against learning new things, whatever it is. At age 60, I'm 61 now, at age 60, I know I'm old, you know. Hey, what can I say? I'm an old man. You know, the 60 is the new 20. But I want to live to 128, so I'm not even halfway through, right? At age 60 last year, I took classes and a couple of federal tests to acquire a new license in the financial industry. It was kind of a bear studying after all these years for fairly significantly tough tests. And then at age 61... last year, 2016, I buckled down and studied for 5 different insurance licenses or certifications. Multiple tests later, and I have, many, many hours of study, I have 5 more designations to my name and to my career. During the last go-around in the 2016 with these insurance licenses, I learned even more than I expected. And what I learned in the process of learning was a new way to learn. And it was really mind-opening, and I want to share that with you today. An incredible new way to learn. And I found that it just made things so much easier. Last year, I was required for these 5 certifications to take about 80 hours of online courses. Or I could fly to Arizona and go in there for 2 solid weeks, which would cost me a fortune, and I really didn't want to go to Arizona. Pay for a flight and hotel and, you know. So, I had to take about 80 hours for these 5 new certifications. And I'd taken online courses before. That was my only other option besides flying to Arizona. I'd taken online courses before. The last one I remember taking was, you know, the years and years and years ago, I got a traffic ticket. And I had to take an 8-hour course online to get the ticket waived. We used to have to go into a classroom where they would tell these real lousy jokes. And so this was an 8 hour, what did I say? This was 80 hours. And I said, oh, I got to take this online. That's going to take forever, 80 hours. And some of them had timers. So you had to stay on the website at least 20 minutes. And if you left the website, after 20 minutes, the course would stop. And if you clicked off that page, let's say you open your mail, the course would stop. So you had to stay on the page. I guess you could leave for 20 minutes, but then you'd miss the material and not be able to take the test. So the thought of 80 hours on a computer just scared the hell out of me. I mean, it was just like, oh, it's going to take me, you know, 9 months to do that. Well, weeks later, after having sat in front of my computer watching the video classes and reading PDF files and running out of time, I had the test coming up, I downloaded the material into my smartphone. The PDFs and most of the videos were available on my smartphone. The PDFs I could read without Wi-Fi. The videos, of course, I had to be hooked to a Wi-Fi or eat some data. And even then, even though if I was just eating cellular data, some of the videos would stop. You know, you need the higher speed of the Wi-Fi. But I began to listen to material through my iPhone. Mostly the PDFs. If I was in the gym or something or at home and I was on Wi-Fi, I would listen to the videos. So I began to listen to the material in my car with my earphones or through the Bluetooth. At the gym, walking, cooking, gardening, wherever I could. Sometimes I was distracted doing other things, and the material was playing in my ear, but I really wasn't paying attention. Hours literally flew by. And after hearing the material over and 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 over, you know, because it's not one 80-hour class, it would be like an 8-hour class, and then I'd have to take a test, and then it'd be a 40-hour class, and I'd have to go to Sacramento or somewhere to take a state test. So I would take this 8-hour test, and I would listen to the material over and 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 over. And it was kind of funny. I actually found that listening to the material through the earphones kind of was a distraction and kind of like allowed me to zone out in some sort of meditation when I was driving. The hours went by. And it was very repetitious going in my ears day in and day out. And what I found as I heard these hours going over and over and over and over and over, I began to realize that some of the PDFs, some of the things that were being read to me, I actually knew what the PDF was going to say before it said it. Because even though sometimes I wasn't even paying attention, the subliminal stuff was going in. So I would be reading along and I'd be driving in my car and it would say a sentence and I would complete the sentence in my mind and I didn't even know that I knew the end of the sentence. It was amazing. I realized I knew the material so well, most of the time I knew what the guy was going to say before he said it. The phone played over and over again. It played the classes, some of the practice tests, and the answers to the practice tests. And so when I finally took my test, this is a true story. I had two state tests and three online tests. The online tests were certified tests where you had to take it online, pass the test, and then it went to the state to show that you took it online. But I actually had to go to the state of California to take two of these things. One was a two-hour test. Now, when I took my securities license test, that was a three-hour test. It took me, I think, 3 hours to take that, and I scored an 82 or an 86. I think it was 82 or 86. I had to get a minimum of 70, and took me the whole time, and I got an 82, and I passed. On the two-hour insurance state test that I took, the tough one, I finished it in 45 minutes. 45 minutes. And I reviewed it once completely within that 45 minutes. I scored a 97. A 97. I got like two wrong out of 80. And these are some tough questions. The second test I took a California state test. I took it in Reno. Go figure that, right? Because California said, you can take this state test the day after Thanksgiving in Sacramento. And I said, what? I'm not going to take a state test in Sacramento the day after Thanksgiving. I'm going to be burping red wine and turkey. All that tryptophan will be running around in my blood. And there's no way I'm going to take this test the day after Thanksgiving. So I said, when's the next test? They said, well, you take it in December. I said, I'm not taking it in December. That's 6 weeks out. They said, well, you can take one on November 8th in Reno. And I said, oh, I can take a California state test in Reno, Nevada? They said, yeah. I said, okay. So I went up to Reno on election day and took that test. That test was 90 minutes. I finished it in 25 with a review, and I got a 93. A 93! And I went over every question on both tests at least twice. The other mini test I took online was the same way. It was literally as close to a miracle as one could get. Remember, I got an 82 when I studied it online, putting it on my earphones. I got a 97 and a 93 and finished the test in less than half the time. I mean, it blew my mind. I had discovered a new way of learning by downloading the material into my phone and thereby listening to it and downloading the material into my brain, whether I was paying attention or not. I was absorbing literally tons of material consciously and subconsciously, and without the grueling hours in front of the computer screen. I am totally convinced I found the holy grail to learning. I now believe that I can learn anything utilizing the smartphone and a set of earbuds coupled with my Bluetooth and my car radio when I'm driving. I really believe that I can learn anything. I've got a bunch of security licenses that I can take, and I'll tell you how I'm going to do it. My next challenge, when I have some free time, which is tough because I don't have much free time, but my next free time goal is I want to learn Chinese. Mandarin is what they tell me. There's multiple Chinese languages, but I want to learn Mandarin because that's the official language. After all, did you see the Chinese Olympics, right? They're going to take over the world, right? I'm going to learn Chinese on my smartphone. Listen to it over and over. My first complete couple of sentences I will plan on learning in Chinese, right, is the following. These are my first three sentences that I'm going to learn. I give up. Don't shoot. And did I tell you how nice you look in that army uniform? You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. We'll be right back. Jorma Kaukonen from Jefferson Airplane. And I interviewed Jorma years ago, 5-6 years ago. More than that. Used to have a show called Center Stage on KVMR. It was just a special. They didn't air many of these, but interviewed a lot of people. We did interview Peter Frampton and Jorma Kaukonen. And he told me about when he wrote that song, and he was seeing a television show. He told me the show, I don't remember. And they used it as a background music, and his wife said, "Hey, listen, that's yours." He said, "Yeah, I guess they can use that stuff." Any case, so I think learning Chinese by iPhone, or whatever you want to learn, I think it will save me well and possibly save my life someday, maybe, if not limb. If you have a daunting task to memorize, or a class, or thinking about learning a new skill, or acquiring a new certification or license, try this method. Load it up to a smartphone, get some earbuds, and start passing the hours away listening. You might find, as I did, it's an incredible way, an almost painless way of learning a new skill. And remember, a lot of times I was listening and I wasn't even paying attention. You know, somebody would call, or I'd be writing something or cooking and reach for the spice and, you know, not even listening. But it goes in. You know, I did find on the web, there are a lot of audios that you can listen to, positive affirmations and classes and also meditations and all sorts of stuff. But they do also have subliminal audios. So you go on YouTube and you see subliminal audios. Now, subliminal audios, there's two types. There's three types, actually. Actually, one is when it's spoken to you. And when you listen to a subliminal audio, there's usually two or three people in there talking at the same time. So you'll hear sentences mixed up, but you listen to it, and you know, after 15 minutes, you've heard all these sentences, and you're really, if you only pay attention, you can grasp one of the sentences, but you can't grasp them all. But apparently, it goes in. The other subliminal type of audio I found on there are these different frequencies you can't hear. So they're playing music, but you hear this kind of squeaky noise in the background. Apparently, they're playing messages at different frequencies, either really, really fast. I want to download one of those on AudioPort and slow it down, you know, my sound program, and see if there's anything really under there. But you could hear these little tiny squeaks, and you don't know what it is, but apparently it's going in. And the other one is a visual subliminal. Visual subliminal is you look at the screen, and they're flinging sentences by you, like lightning speed, so you can't read them. You know, you might catch a word if you're quick, but these sensors are going by, you know, that apparently your mind is picking up. You know, they learned this, I guess, from the 50s and 60s when they used to flash on the movie screen, "You're hungry, go get some popcorn," is what I've seen, and that would flash through the screen so fast you wouldn't see it, but it was subliminal. Your mind caught it, even though you didn't know your mind caught it. So those are on the web too, these fast sentences going by. And you know, I don't know. I've done all three. I've done the multiple sentences going on at normal speed. I've done the high-pitched ones or whatever frequencies there are where I couldn't discern what the heck was being said, if anything. It was just noise. And then I've done the visual where the sentences fly by. And, you know, I can't say that it hasn't worked or have worked, but it's odd. So you can pick up a lot of things even when you're not paying attention. And hey, you know, the 97 and the 92 on these extremely hard state tests, at least is a testament to me that it works. I mean, I'm a firm believer in it. So anyway, you're listening to Money Matters on your community station. We'll be right back. Talk a little bit about Trump policies. And we'll have another version, live version, of Jorma Kaukonen. Ryan Lior McCownkinen. And, you know, I listened to that song, you know, and a lot of stuff from Jimmy Page, those tunes. A Penny for Your Thoughts and Peter Frampton. And I'll play that in just a second if I can find it. And, you know, I used to sit down, you know, I've been playing guitar for a long time. And what I would do is I would, you know, I would hear that song, and some of these are played on 12s, some of these are played on 6s. And by hearing this song, you know, and when he would strum open, you know, I would start to tune my guitar, and I would find these open tunings. A lot of these songs are done in open tunings. I know Jimmy Page did a lot in open tunings, and Black Mountain Side, I think it's called, and Broniar is an open tuning, and this Penny for Your Thoughts is an open tuning by Peter Frampton, and I believe this one from Lior McCownkinen is an open tuning. And I learned them all. I learned all these acoustical songs. I would first find the tuning, and then I would start to just, you know, get my cassette and listen it over and over and just figure out how it's played, you know. And so I could do a pretty good imitation of all those songs. And I would use an open tuning. In some of the Jimmy Page stuff, you'd have an open D tuning, which basically when you strum it, it's a D chord. That's a very popular open tuning. And what happened with Black Mountain Side, it was an open D, but he, A, D, G. He flattened the G. He flattened the G to an F. And so that's when I picked that one up. Black Mountain Side is an open D with a flattened G. And so, you know, when you play in an open tuning, it's a lot easier to sound better than you are, you know, because at the open tuning, you just strum it and then you can do hammers and it sounds great. But anyway, I was up at the Ridgetop Music Festival and I interviewed Leo Kottke. And he's incredible acoustic guitarist. He plays a lot of this stuff. And I asked him, you know, do you use a lot of open tunings? And he turned to me and he goes, no, open tunings are a trap. And I knew what he meant, because it's a lot harder to play these things than a regular standard tuning. I tune it to an open D, I can sound like Leo Kottke, it's just whatever, you know, especially on a 12. But he said, no, open tunings are a trap, and I bowed my head and sheepishly walked back and was depressed for a day. Because I did a lot of stuff with open tunings, and I knew what he meant. You know, if you look into Tommy Emmanuel, I don't think he uses any open tunings, and he sounds like he does, and he's just, man, hands down, you know, blows you out of the room with what this guy can do. Incredible. So within hours of his inauguration, President Donald Trump reversed a last-minute policy. When Trump was made president, inaugurated or whatever this, he started signing executive orders. You know, they all do that. I'm really not a fan of executive orders, but the president's been using it more and more and more and more. So one of the ones he reversed, the last minute policy made by Barack Obama, which took back a fee cut by the Federal Housing Administration. Okay. FHA had a fee cut. So the low income and first time home buyers would save $500 a year. Okay. He took back that fee. So now low-income and first-time homeowners are going to cost $500 more. It was a cut that Barack made, and Trump took it back. In a flurry of last-minute policy actions that drew criticism from the Trump administration, in a flurry of last-minute policy actions that Obama made, which was criticized by Trump, Trump himself immediately put his hand to pen what has likely become a series of continuing policy reversals. He just said, okay, you're going to make them do, I'm going to make them undo. Many analysts are still at odds as how we as a nation could forget so easily the policies that drew this nation and indeed the world banking system to the brink of the financial abyss. And I'm referring to all the breaks and all the easy money policies on home lending. Home lending policies that dropped interest rates to record lows, low qualification standards, subsidized mortgage and fees, quotas, what they call redlining, and other mandates and influences by the Fed led to a lot of people owning real estate that shouldn't have been allowed to own real estate. And on an unprecedented magnitude, which almost brought the world financial system to its knees when these people couldn't pay their mortgages. I know a lot of it was blamed on the banks for taking advantage, but there's an old adage, you got to know what you're signing before you sign it. Central bankers and policymakers worldwide arguably addressed the crisis, the housing blow-up, with more of the same medicine that caused it. Instead of reining in lending policies, they continued with low interest rates. They continued with lax lending standards. They continued with these fees to help low-income and first-time buyers buy houses, which is what got us into the trouble in the first place. Easy lending standards, arguably, may have caused a housing blow. Instead of letting the real estate market purge itself, fall as far as it was going to fall, and reach its own equilibrium as it collapsed, authorities stepped forward with the programs aimed at borrowers and lenders alike. Mortgage forgiveness, right? We'll forgive $80,000 off your mortgage, save your home in California, blah, blah, blah. All using your funds, public funds, my funds, everybody's funds, to backstop or backfill the trillions in home loans going bad. And to literally pay off portions of people's mortgages to stave off a mass exodus of homeowners. I told you in 05, 06, 07 on one of my shows, you can go back and listen to it. I said, don't be surprised when this whole thing blows up if the Feds step forward and just pay your mortgage off. Now, when I said it, it was kind of, you know, showmanship there, but I really didn't believe that they'd pay a lot of it off, but they did. Some of them. Many of these programs have continued to this day, and interest rates continue to be in the historical extremely low range. You could still get almost, you know, interest, you know, down payment free lending. USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture, is in the home loan business. With Trump's cancellation of the FHA fee relief, which is only $500, by the way, he may be embarking on an ongoing campaign of reeling in the freebies and handouts that many argue have been bankrupting federal balance sheets. With budget deficits growing exponentially by the day, a policy of frugality and discipline may be just what this nation needs to finally get its fiscal house in order economically. Widespread protest is sure to follow, and has, as it always does when checks are taken away from people. But much like addressing an overspending spouse, the buck has to stop somewhere. And when the buck does stop and stops flowing, there's bound to be some complaining. That's the trouble with starting down the road of giving out free money and bailing out people and bad debts and bad decisions. Moral hazard is destroyed. Hard lessons are not learned. Markets are not allowed to finish their much-needed corrections. And the addiction of free money in your mailbox is a habit not easily relinquished. You're listening to Money Matters. Like it or not, on your community radio station. My name's Mark. We'll be right back. Peter Frampton, Penny for Your Thoughts. Open Tuning. Latest out from the Federal Reserve Chief Janet Yellen gives rise to further interest rate increases in 2017. You're listening to Money Matters. My name is Mark. Thanks for joining me today. Wrapping up the show, in a speech last week to the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco, Yellen indicated the economy is close in fulfilling the central bank's objectives of stable prices and full employment. She expressed confidence that the economy will continue to improve. Yellen stopped short of pegging a date as to when the next increase might take place. Estimates by the Federal Open Market Committee, those that estimate these things, predict that there will be three increases of a quarter of a point and will likely take place by December of this year. Only two increases have taken place in the last 6 years. The first increase was announced in December of 2015, and the second, coincidentally, was announced in December of 2016. although the 2015 interest rate announcement spooked the markets with a January 2016 sell-off, which was quite brutal. Dow dropped 6.6% in January of 2016. The December 2016 announcement apparently had little effect. Federal Reserve controls monetary policy here in the U.S. by raising or lowering interest rates, conducting open market operations, which are buying and selling assets back and forth to member banks, and using other variations of currency management. While monetary policies control the money supply and are handled by the Federal Reserve under Janet Yellen, fiscal policies, which are things like tax cuts, stimulus spending, and other types of initiatives, are the sole responsibility of policymakers in Washington. So monetary comes from the Federal Reserve, fiscal comes from Washington. These two entities hopefully work together to steer the economy in the direction they want it to go. Can they do that? I don't know. Given the severity of the 2009 economic crisis, an argument could be made concerning the success of such policy implementation by the two bodies. Indeed, since the Federal Reserve and Washington have been working together since 1913, when the Federal Reserve was established by the Federal Reserve Act in December of that year, there have been, from thebalance.com, 11 recessions and one depression, and of course the crisis in 2009. A recession, by the way, is defined as a contraction in gross domestic product for two consecutive quarters, blah, blah, blah. While a depression, differing from a recession, is regarded as a fall in GDP, gross domestic product, of at least 10%, or a recession lasting two or more years. That from Wikipedia. Regardless of what one thinks about the effectiveness of monetary policy from the Federal Reserve and fiscal policy from Washington, what the Federal Reserve says and does has a definite and sometimes immediate effect on world markets, and in recent years, even more. Although the movements of the central bank's monetary policy may be somewhat predictable, given the occasional announcements by Janet Yellen, the Fed chief, what Washington does with their fiscal policy under the Trump administration is yet to be determined. The results of these two entities working together with each other in the coming years and months and weeks will likely prove even more unpredictable. What will happen? I don't know. We'll see. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station, and we're about ready to wrap up the show. I want to thank you for joining us today. And, of course, we'll go out with our theme song. If I can get it to play. Oh, there we go. The old cash register of Pink Floyd Money off the EMI release Dark Side of the Moon 1987 album. And it's been my pleasure bringing you the show today. 246, Money Matters Edition 246, called Leap into February. I'd like to remind all of you that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. The views expressed are my opinions only and the opinions of the authors or people I may interview. These opinions do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge, this station, its staff members, or underwriters. My name is Mark Cunabruti. Thanks for joining me today. Have a great day, a great week, and God bless all of you.